You know, I entitled this message here, The Powerful Word. The Word of God is powerful. You know, I look back there at that map, the missionary map that's been there for years, and I'm thinking, you know, God's work is still going on, amen? In our lives, in our testimonies, our own experiences, the Word of God keeps on going on. It never stops. And, you know, you might have a watch you need to crank back up. You need to check things to make sure they're cleaned or whatever. God doesn't need that because God supersedes time. He supersedes everything. And He loves us. That's the best part. And He gave us His very best, Jesus Christ. And Jesus foreknew each one of us that are sitting here today. And He loves us. And He gave His life. He gave His all. And in return, He wants us to be like Him, Christ-like. And so looking back here, what we looked at last week, the transition, remember, we had Paul who took his Nazarene vow, and he took that, and sometimes people transition into other things. But by the grace of God, we have the Word of God here. And remember, Paul traveled all the way from Ephesus down to Jerusalem, where he made his 30-day vow. He did that. Some people make vows today, and like I said last week, make sure your yeas are yeas and your nays are nays before the Lord. Get it right, and the peace of God will establish us. Then we see also with Apollos' transition, he was one of these intellects, one of these people that knew the Word God, and God blessed him with that. He was from Alexandria. And what happened was is that you had just two tent makers, Aquila and Priscilla, a couple, led him straighter into the narrow ways of God. And we are in that way, too, with this church. We're very thankful that we have walked into the narrow. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Today, we see that, I'm just going to mention it here to you, I was reading this the other day, you know, out of the Pentecostal religion, 120 of them are Roman Catholic. And remember, their doctrine isn't always sound. And then also you have 25 million out of the Pentecostal movement deny the Trinity. And then you even have those that believe in the prosperity gospel. And it trickles on down where there's not the same Jesus that Apollos was seeking. But we have the same false Christ today. They're everywhere, people. And don't delude ourselves. We should not delude ourselves because we have many churches that are full. People, churches that are growing because they're going with the wide and destructive. We have churches out here today, even in Oconomowoc, believe in the Babylonian system. And we'll look at that in a minute and say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, you know what? That's what the pastor's supposed to do. He's supposed to study and guard his flock, evangelize and tell people the way, the truth, and the life. And by God's grace, I'll do that, continue on doing that. And then, of course, moving on here with Apollos, then we had the Old Testament saints that believed in John's baptism last week. And there, you know, we looked at that, and, you know, there were 12 of them. They didn't understand, but they were seeking the truth. God never denies a person who's seeking the truth. God never denied us. God keeps on using us as we open the doors and we live the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. We can't hide it under a bushel. We got to let people know that we are lights in this dark world. Somebody complained the other day that, oh, you know, we have clouds outside. I said, you know, I'm thankful for clouds because I've been through some hot days. We've been through some hot days this summer, haven't we? And it feels so good to feel the coolness outside. It feels good, you know. But, you know, we have to be truthful about God's word, and we need to tell like it is, you know, out of love. And so you had Paul was able to witness to these people in verses 1 through 7 in chapter 9. The Word of God continues to go on. Jesus warned there will be many false Christs, but yet we pick up where we left off last week. And I pray that we had a good week this past week in the Lord. I encourage you here this morning to look here in Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 20. Now remember, the third missionary journey had already started with Paul. Our journey in life has just begun, ourselves in this church. There are many changes. Some of us transitioned into different things, but we still have the Word of God that's transformed us. We're not the same as we used to be. There's something different. People say, well, you need religion. I got religion, but you know what? I've got a relationship. I don't need actually religion. I had that, excuse me. I was brought up with religion. And religion is just going around the barn, just walking around the barn. That's all you're doing. You're not getting anywhere is what I'm trying to say. But relationship, you have somebody to talk to, and that's Jesus Christ. And you can go places and do things and explore life as God meant it to be. And God created you in His image so that you can shine and know the truth and you're set free. So we see here with the third missionary journey had started in Acts chapter 18 and verses 22 and 23. I'm going to mention this because it's really important. When he had landed in Caesarea, he had gone up and saluted the church. He went to down to Antioch. And after that, he departed over there some time and went all over to the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order to strengthen all the disciples. And this is where Paul had gone. And Paul had left from Antioch, Syria. He went to Tarsus, Derbe, Listeria, Iconium, and Pristinian Antioch and Ephesus. Say, why are you telling me all that? Because, you know, where he started, he had to go into these provinces to get to Ephesus. And sometimes, you know, in our journey in life, we have to go places. We have to do things. And God sometimes has us stop off at different places in life and minister to people. And there are many people here today that you minister to people. And, you know, God can use us if we just let God use us. Does that make sense? And so we should have that prayer. Lord, help me to be used of you. Jesus did that many times. He stopped off and he healed people and he witnessed the people and he shared his love and he gave so much of himself. Today we do that all the time. We need that more than anything else in this dark world. So we see here, he went on to Ephesus, and where we're continue on here with chapter 19, verse 8 says, and then when he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly the space of 3 months concerning the kingdom of God. Now he went in there, and there were questions, there were arguments, but the doctrine was sure. When we witness the people today, we need to use the scripture. We need to use the word of God. It's so important because the word of God is not being used today. I got a letter from the White House the other day from Joe Biden, of all people. My wife and I wrote him 6 months ago with Kamala Harris and with some of the other people that are up there and Nancy Pelosi. And I said, you know, we can try this. I don't know if it's going to work, but God can work things out. It told me everything I needed to hear about him because I kept copies. Make sure you keep copies of what you write, people, because that can bite you, you know, later on. You got to be careful because people will use that against you. Be careful what you write. Be careful what you put on the internet. So what happened was is that we said, you know, we live in a very troubling world, basically, and, you know, people have their rights, but then there's a moral standard, the Bible, to go by, you know. They wrote back and they said, oh, yeah, we all need our rights. And you know what I'm talking about, what they're talking about in that White House. They're talking about, you know, people who do not have moral standards according to the Bible. And God calls homosexuality a sin. It's a sin. And God calls other sins a sin. And you got to tell it like it is the word of God. Well, they wrote back and they were like, oh, we appreciate what you had written us. But, you know, we all should get along together. You know, let's just throw a big blanket over all the sin and call it getting along. Let's rub elbows together and give each other hugs. No, God doesn't teach that. So Paul had to go into the synagogue. Paul had to go in the synagogue for a reason. And there were people who did not want to change. Don't ever give up on people. You know, thank God that he never gave up on us. Very thank God for people witnessing today. They never give up on people. By the grace of God, so are we. So you had this going on, and unfortunately, verse 9 says, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way. Remember, they were called the way. The Christians back in that day were called the way because, you know, they were looked at as a semi-religious group, an offshoot of the Jewish people. And so Paul, who was Jewish, went in there. And, you know, Christians were like a sect, you know. And so today, some people look at Protestants as being an offshoot from the Catholic Church. And on down the road, well, you know, you're just one of those people. You're not from the real church. A lot of people are lied to today. They're saying, you know, the Catholic Church is the only way. Catholic means universal. But then they also go by the a lot of that religion that they teach goes back into Babylonian day. And I'll go back to that in a minute here when we get there. So it says, so Paul was there. And what happened was, is that, says in verse 9, the multitude, he departed from them and separated disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tenarius. Tenarius, what Paul had to do, let me back up here for a minute. Paul had to get away from the synagogue because enough is enough. If you witness the people long enough and they don't want to hear it anymore, it's better just to walk away. Shake the dust off your feet. You know, pray for them. Because the more you hang around, the angrier they're going to get. And nobody wants to be a martyr. And it's better to walk away. Maybe God will get hold of their senses and get a hold of them and say, you know, enough is enough. So you had here that Paul decided, you know what, I'm going to go over here to a philosopher. And I'm going to use his hall. There's a hallway where philosophers would get together. And that's a great thing. If you're an intellect, if you know somebody who can really sit down and have a cup of coffee and talk about the things of God, let me warn you, don't waste your time with people who are just going to spin you in circles. Because, you know, after a while, you're going to come out of there dizzy. And you're like, what was I wasting my time for? These people don't want, they just like to hear themselves talk. You get some people all proud and poked up with pride. And, you know, stay away from those people. They're with vain philosophies. They're storytellers. They're no good. Actually, they'll try to cause you to have doubt in your own life. Stay away from those people. Stick to the Word of God. So at that time, Paul would go there between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. It was the hottest part of the day. He went there. He was smart because most people went home and took a break because they'd work in the morning, work in the evening when it was cooler. And they, you know, God wants us to take our time, the same time, use it wisely. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. In Ephesians chapter 6, it states that, you know, we need to use that time wisely. It has the idea of somebody buying up something and making a wise investment. Invest their time. Paul was investing his time. We got to use everything we have as an investment for the Lord, from our bodies down to our homes, our cars, our animals, everything there. I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, the only thing that God doesn't get from us is our hearts because they're wicked. Our minds because they're wicked. We're constantly like, okay, Lord, here it is. No, I want it back. Here it is, Lord. It's like a tug of war. And say, that's not fair. It is fair because it's the truth. And I'm like, Lord, please forgive me. You know, I am such a, I'm a nobody. We're a nobody before, you know, before God's grace and God's love. You know, so we need, it's a tug of war with our flesh and with the things of this world and on and on. But Paul used his time wisely. We use our time wisely. He's redeeming his time. So it says here in verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. It's interesting here. Again, God does not believe in being prejudiced. He, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16, you know, that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. You know, God doesn't play favorites. In the artist world, we're just one shade of brown. We're just, you know, our colors all in God's sight. God loves us, loves the human race. He doesn't call us racists like they do in the news, because they go back to the green movement, Mother Earth, of these politicians believe in. They want to take the race of mankind and they want to depopulate the earth. That's what they're trying to do right now. They don't tell you that. So that's a little weird, but no, it's not. Because if they could do away with most of the people and have the elites running this world, they would do that. They could do that. If they could start wars, they would do that. Enough for the news. But we see here that Paul stayed and continued in the space of 2 years, so that all which dwelt in Asia both heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here that verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. So this was the authenticate the word of God. That's all it was. Because remember, the word of God was not written at this time. And so there were miracles and signs and wonders at this time. Like I had mentioned, that the Pentecostal movement was over 500 million believers. And yet it has taken over. Jesus had to say something about this. If you look over to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, it's kind of interesting because I look at the test of false prophets. Jesus says, test them and see if they're of me or not. It says in verse 21 in Matthew chapter 7, it says, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So, Lord, let your will be done on earth as in heaven. You know, the Lord's Prayer, that's the very beginning. That's at least some scripture verses I learned in the Episcopal Church right out of the Bible that I remember that I'm using. But Jesus goes on to say this, and this describes almost to the perfect T in the jot and tittle of the Pentecostal movement. Verse 22, Matthew 7. Many will say unto me in the day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? They believe in extra biblical revelation. They don't believe in all the scriptures. They will tell you, oh yeah, I believe in the Bible. Oh, you know, but you know, God still speaks to me in extra words. They add on to God's word. And it says also here, in thy name cast out devils. You see them doing that all the time. You know, Jesus did that. Paul did that. What? Very few times, if you looked at Paul through the book of Acts, maybe about 3 or 4 times, it's mentioned in different sections in Acts where there's specific reasons for that happening. But you have people doing this, it's like a sham. What they do today on TV and so on and so forth. It's all big circus. Now, stay away from it because they're lies. And they've even been caught doing this too. I've never heard anybody who's a real Christian, who's living the real Christian life, ever have to get caught. We don't have to get caught with anything. Our lives are an open book, amen? And people hear us sin, they stub our toe and the wrong word came out. That happened to me actually at a workplace years ago. And I looked at the person and I said, you know what, I'm forgiven. I don't know about you. And they looked at me like, what are you talking about? You just, you know, you're a hypocrite. I said, no, I'm not a forgiven person. Jesus forgave me. You know what? I pray that God forgives you too one day, you know. And they're like, what are you talking about? I said, God forgives through his son, Jesus Christ. And that started a conversation going on. And I don't know whatever happened to him, but that's how we start things. The accusations, start. And remember, God just claimed Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. You know what? Ha, that's all right, because I got something greater in me that's in you. You got the world in you. You got the flesh in you. You got the devil in you. I'm going to, you know, either you're a child of God, you're a child of the devil. And you know what? I'm going to share Jesus Christ. You know, look for those opportunities because you never know, that person might end up dying that day and lost and going to hell. You know, say, oh, everything doesn't, I don't see hell anywhere. Of course you don't. But we believe in it by faith. Amen. Because Jesus preached about it more than anything else. Hell. It's a place where his people reject the Lord. So you see that the Pentecostal movement, they not prophesied in my name. They say in verse 22, and I cast out devils and have done many wonderful works. Of course, they believe in signs and wonders. You know, a lot of their churches are packed full of people today because you have a lot of people who are looking for something extra. They're not, some people are not even saved. They're looking for something that feels good. You know, I'm looking for facts, not feelings. That's what I got to go for. We're realists today, amen? All of us here are realists. And we say, you know, I've had a tough week. You have no idea what I had to go through this week. And, you know, because you go by the facts, amen? You're a realist. And if you went by feelings, I think we all end up in a nut hospital, you know? Because, you know, life isn't going to rub you the right way all the time. It's going to rub you the wrong way. And by the grace of God, we have to deal with it and ask God for His grace, His help, and His mercy. So, getting back to Scripture here, and I'm not saying that all Pentecostals and Charismatics are not saved. I'm sure there are some that's saved. But the doctrine is out the window. And I use that expression, it belongs out the window. It don't belong in here. And, you know, somebody says, well, I don't like what you had to say. Well, you know what? Go to another church if you want to. Now, I'm not holding anybody behind. You know, I love you, but I'm going to speak the truth. That's all I got. That's all I have. That's all we want to hear today is the truth. It's going to set us free. And God, through His grace and His peace, God blesses us. There's so many promises in the Word of God that God can overcome everything and anything. And, you know, Jesus even said you're going to have a life that's going to be tough while we're here. But God still blesses. He takes care of us. So Paul, he uses, people are getting healed through his handkerchiefs, the aprons, and the diseases from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So this is a good point here. Some people teaching that Pentecostal movement, the healing movement, that because you're sick, you have a demon in you. That's not true, because this verse just disregards that right there. It blows it away. If God's word says it, that settles it, right? So, you know, yes, sometimes sickness can be caused from demonic influence. That does happen, but very rarely, okay? But it's because we live in a cursed world. We have diseases. We have mankind who's sinful, who's evil, who makes up different things in the chemistry lab to hurt people. You know, see what this COVID-19 put us. A lot of division. People still haven't gotten over that yet because it's hurt a lot of people mentally, spiritually, physically. Churches shut down and on and on. But God's in the business of building it. Look at all here's today. That's God's work. It's not our work. It's God's work because He calls us. He calls us to the world to witness, to be in church. So you had Paul, you know, people were using this, what they had, and people were getting healed. Very thankful about that. Now, it's interesting in verse 13. Remember, this is all going on in Ephesus. And Ephesus was one of the largest cities in Asia. And it was very important because you had a lot of people coming, going. They said there's over 500,000 people in Ephesus at this time. It was a port city, and you had a lot of trade going through there. So it was a wonderful opportunity to witness. I know some of you work at jobs where you intermingle with a lot of people. Great opportunity, you know. So we see here in verse 14, let me go on God's word here. It says, and there were seven sons of Sceva. And then one of Sceva. So there were seven sons, one Sceva. He was a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. So you had seven men who said they were sons of the chief priest. Well, looking back in history and reading, you'll find out there was never a high priest mentioned by that. What these seven sons were, they were like gypsies. They were ones, and anybody who's been, because there are gypsies today in Europe, nothing against the gypsies there. They're just travelers. They were from the Slavia descent. I won't get into that in Europe. But these gypsies, these seven sons, I'll just call them that, they were more of pretenders. They were great pretenders. And they would go around and do exorcisms. And they would copy of what Paul was doing. And we have a lot of pretenders today in churches. We do. We don't have pretenders here because I know you all. And I don't see any pretending here. I see the real thing. And I pray for those online too, and the ones that I understand online, they're not pretenders either. But you always get somebody who likes to copy off of somebody else. And so it's interesting here. It says here that in verse 15, and why did they do it? They did it for money, obviously, for power or whatever the flesh has there. Verse 15 says, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Isn't that interesting? And the word exorcist has the idea here of to bind with an oath, to bind with an oath. And with the oath which was taken was that you call on the name of Jesus Christ and the demon would flee or demons would flee. Well, Paul, remember, did that. There were different opportunities when he did that. And it worked because of the power of the Holy Spirit for what it meant. Remember in Cyprus, you had Bar Jesus, who used pretend the name, I'm of Jesus. Bar Jesus means that. And he went out and he decided that he would be the counterfeit. And Paul came along and exposed for who he was and exorcised that demon out of him. Remember the Philippian girl? She was a fortune teller. We read that in Acts 2. They got angry at Paul and Silas about that. The same reason. You have another one here. And the demon says, I know who you are. And I don't know who you are. Excuse me. And Paul I know. And Jesus I know. But who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was left upon him and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled and out of the house naked and wounded. You know, Satan sometimes will deceive people and use people for his purposes. Other times when there's a real power of God, and I've seen this happen, I've heard talk to pastors, my own pastor had done 3 exorcisms in his time. And he says, there's 3 things you got to do. I'll never forget this. 1, you better be prayed up. 2, you better fast. And 3, you better pray over your whole family. Because these spirits like to embody things. It could be animate objects or inanimate objects. And so I remember taking a course in demonology in seminary. And my professor told me it's very real. And he says, it's best not to even get into studying that, because there's oppression, there's fear, there's also memories that come to your mind. Stay away from that stuff, because remember, your mind is like a memory bank. You want it to be filled with Christ and filled with the Word of God, and not the things of this world. Be careful what we do in our spare time. So it was it says here in verse 16, so he jumped around. Remember, he was very strong, this demon-possessed person. And remember, Legion had up to 2,000 demons in him. And it says that in the Word of God. And so he overcame these 7 sons, these 7 men who tried to pretend to be the great pretenders in this time. And they came out of the house naked and wounded. I think Luke put that in there, that totally overpowered them, humiliated them. And what happens to people when they're exposed, when they're not the real things? They're humiliated. They're humiliated. You know, when we witness with the Word of God, we're not there to humiliate people. We're there to share in love and the truth. And to try to get some people who used to go to church, who know all about the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know what? You need to come back. You need to come back. What happened to your first love? What happened to your first love? And you know what? I'm going to turn over here to Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And I think the Lord wants me to mention this. Because remember, Ephesus is mentioned with the 7 churches. Now remember, when Paul went to minister for 2 years in Ephesus, he went up to visit some of the churches there in the northern area, just north of Ephesus. and where these seven churches are. And John, the Apostle John, went to go minister there too. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2 and verses 1 through 7. And Ephesus was one of them. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holds seven stars, right hand, that walketh in the midst of seven candlesticks." Has the idea the church was alive at this time, 40 years later after Paul. I'm just mentioning out of Acts, Ephesus was still around. And it was still a light into this world. Thank God there was a lady I talked to the other day. She says, "Your church has been around here since 1973. And you know what? Grace Bible Church, by the grace of God, is still shining bright. God has not removed the candlestick here. He has not removed this church. And thank God that we're going to stick true to the word of God. Verse 2, and says, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and thou canst not bear which are evil." So they stuck it to the devil. They stuck it to the world. "And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles." We talk about false apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. We preach the truth here. We expose falsities, false doctrines. Verse 3, "And thou hast borne, and thou hast patience for mine sake, as labor, as not fainted." We're hard at work here. We never give up. We are here faithfully. And I remember I'll get to that in a minute. It says here, hold on here. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." You have to understand that one quote in the Bible, people wonder, it has the idea of a marriage relationship. When people walk away from the Lord, they walk away from their love. I'll never forget, there was in my family, I won't mention the name, but that person's long gone and deceased. In their second marriage, their husband said, "You know what, I'm going to go out and buy a pack of cigarettes." You know, he went out and bought a pack of cigarettes and never came back. Never came back. Isn't that sad? Isn't that very sad? Thank God that Jesus doesn't just walk away from us, you know, in our relationship. But, you know, it happens when people don't put Christ first, and relationships don't last. And what happened was, is that Jesus is saying here to the church, "You've lost your first love. Come back to me." Remember, the church is the bridegroom and the Lord Jesus Christ is the groom. And we're married to him. We're married to him. And so it says here, "Remember therefore whence thou hast fallen, and repent and do the first works, else I come unto thee quickly and I'll remove thy candlestick out of the place, except thou repent." Repent. Get things right. Go back to your first love. "But thou hast that thou hatest," he goes on to compliment, "hatest the Nicolaitans." And they were the people that, as I was saying earlier, if you read the Two Babylons put out by Bishop, it talks about how all the pagan worship and all the, you know, it has the idea of the priests, the statues, the liturgy, the clerical worship, all comes back from that. And you have churches in Oconomowoc around, especially in Wisconsin, is full of these churches. I'm not going to mention them, but you know what I'm talking about. Some of us are saved from them. I was saved from one. But this is where it all starts. It starts with, you know, letting the pagan religion come into our lives. We have to be careful. There's all kinds of false Christ out there. It's a warning. And that's, you know, when we start losing our first love, that's the very first thing. And then after that, we start not being devoted to the one whom we love, like in a marriage relationship. Then what happens is everything else starts to become dim and cold and lifeless. And we become more comfortable with ourselves. It's like a slow death. And so goes on to here. And also that's where we got our priest from. People, you know, confess sins to priests. That all goes back to Babylon worship. It all goes, that's all encruxed in there. And people are so deceived today. And so people are so wedged in that type of worship. And it's very hard for them to get out apart from the grace of God, because it's easier to live by works than by faith. And so the church here in Ephesus, Jesus is saying, be careful, be careful. It says, "And he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcomes, while I give him either the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." There is a heaven to gain and there's sin to be shunned. Remember, sin will keep you from this Bible. The Bible will keep you from sin. Again, sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. You've heard that over the years. We got to keep it on, you know. So, says getting back here to Acts chapter 19. So, verse 17, and this is what's known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. The fear of them, there was fear fell on them all. They were like, we've got, you know, the impression, the power of the Holy Spirit. This is real. This is not something made up. This is, I'm convicted. I fear the Lord. I need the Lord. And you know what they did? And all fear fell on them. And the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was magnified. You know, our end goal, our just means is to glorify the Jesus Christ today. You know, we can only take this life one day at a time. That's all we can do. You know, what's done in the past is in the past. We reap what we sow. But we have so much more to do for the kingdom of God. There's so much to do while our hearts are still beating. Our hearts are the size of our fists. And that muscle pumps blood through our body all day long. There's life in the blood. Life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And many believed and confessed and showed their deeds. In other words, there's an old-fashioned house cleaning. You ever go? I'm sure we've all done that. Guess what? Ball time's coming up. We're going to have to clean up our house, too. And, you know, every once in a while, we look around and say, you know, I don't need this. I don't need that. You know, we need the Word of God. So verse 19 says, many of them which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. They counted the price of them, found to be 50,000 pieces of silver. It means all the books they piled up. Guess what? For each piece of silver, that was equated to a day's worth of wage. That's a lot of days. That's a lot of labor. That's a lot of money. And you know, it was going to upset some people. Let me finish with this. When we want to do something right with the Word of God, we're going to get people upset. Either they're going to love us, because Jesus says, you're either for me or against me. And the world says, you're either for me or against me. That's what the world says. Realistically, and there's no in between. There is no gray matter. They use that gray matter to use for the brain. Doctors use that for that. You know what? God wants that too. So let me finish with this. So mightily grew the word of God and it prevailed. You know, truth overcame fear. Righteousness overcame unrighteousness. God wants everything from us. You know? So let me encourage everybody here today. You know, if you learned anything, just remember that we got to keep our first love. We need to go ahead and confirm with us that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior through the Word of God. We need to realize that there's going to be competition with the Word of God. And we know there's going to be conviction with the Word of God. And yet, you know, if we just let God take a hold of us and use us, thank God for each one of you, because you're encouragement to me, because each one of you, you know, to be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with the Word of God and with the fruit of the Spirit and the songs and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, I'm going to close with this. You ever had a day this past week where you're just walking and all of a sudden one of the old hymns come back to you? You know, the problem is with Christian rock today is, and I'll close with this, you go to a rock concert, you can't really distinguish the both. You can't. You can't. Because they go with emotionalism and so on and so forth. You know, I'm not saying all music's wrong because you need to go doctrinally back into it, but be careful what you listen to. Be careful. Be careful. And just remember, we have the freedom, but not the sin. And, you know, thank God that we have the Word. It keeps us in check. So let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, you convict us, you heal us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you save us. And thank you, Lord God, that we can learn from examples. We thank you so much for one another here, because we need one another. We need our examples for one another. We need to grow with one another. We need to understand in this dark, dying, and sinful and evil world we live in. You know, just because things don't look like they're going to are getting really bad out there, it doesn't mean it's always going to be like that. It means that you are coming back. And just like when they lie to you about this global warming, there's been global warming for years now. Weather's always changing. There are many lies out there. Lord, let us help us to be seekers of truth. And seek you first, the kingdom of God. And Lord, we want your righteousness. And Lord, help us to keep our love. Well, we need to check our love with you. We need to do that, all of us here today. And we need to do that every day. Because we're being pulled in all directions. Everyone here. Lord, my heart goes out to everyone here. Because we're being pulled. And the devil likes to clamp those chains on us and rattle those chains. And say, you know, give us a hard time. You know, we can be set free through you. Perfect love casts out all fear. Lord, the word of God is stronger. Satan had to stop after tempting you for 40 days in the wilderness. And Lord, he departed. In other words, he left you alone. But he comes to us, and you understand there is no temptation as common unto man that you have not been also tempted with, Lord. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is coming. But Lord, help us to share the kingdom of God. And Lord, we just pray for anyone who doesn't know Jesus as Savior, maybe somebody's watching online, Lord, to realize that you are the true Messiah and that you died on the cross for their sins and that you rose again. Christ crucified, Christ resurrection, Lord, realizing that that person, if you're that person listening right now, you can come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Savior from what? Savior from your sins. You're a sinner. You need Jesus because he died for your sins. And there's none righteous, no, not one. Lord, just pray, God, that if that person's listening, they'll come to know you. Through your blood, can forgive that person. And there's life in the blood. Your living blood forgives. Lord, pray too for the body of church, the body here, Lord, that we will be forgiving and loving and keep true to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.